If you want to do something, if you want my blessing, God said, if you want me to touch your life, you want me to move in this situation, get up and give me some praise. Get up and run for me. Get up and shout for me. Get up and glorify me. Get up and let the people know that you are mine and that I'm yours and you don't have a problem saying, Lord, I thank you for what you're about to do. You may not have done it just yet, but I'm thanking you now for what you're about to do. And if you do it, God, no matter what, if it happens or if it don't happen, I'm going to get my praise on right now because I know that you are so well able to do whatever it is you want to do and however you want to do it. We got to get tired of mess coming into God's house, sitting on God's pew, acting a fool in the house of God while God is trying to get his worship and trying to get his people to glory and praise him. And we sitting there with our mouth stuck out complaining about what somebody else God is using to do. We got to come out of that. We got to move away from that and say, God, I glorify you.
You ever been there? You're not in that high place that you like to be in. You know, we like to be in that high place, you know, that place where we feel good, you know, where you're thinking good, amen, where you're feeling strong, amen. We want to be in that place, but we're not always in that place. And I just want to suggest to you that, amen, you can go to the Psalms and the Psalms have a way of comforting you and strengthening you and building you up. And you hear the psalmist, how they'll tell you how they're going through and how they're dealing with things. And I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. And then he talks about how God delivered him and rescued him from a horrible pit. God will give you strength, amen, as you read the Psalms and as you meditate on the Psalms. And so the Psalms have a way of lifting and building and pulling us up. And so the Psalms are powerful. And I like the psalmist in verse 34, Psalm 34, he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. The psalmist realized that there's something about praise. And then the word of God, the man of God says, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Amen. We need to understand that there is a time for intimate praise and intimate worship, but there is a time for corporate praise and corporate worship where we come together and lift up the name of Jesus. That's what he said. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Amen. God can move in your bedroom. God can move, amen, when you're there in your car driving down the road. Amen. It don't have to be nobody with you, and God can show up and show out. But we have these people nowadays that feel like they don't have no need to come together. They act like they don't know the word of God that says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some have. But he says so much the more as you see the day approaching, as you see the end drawing near. He says we ought to come together like never before. So I just don't understand. I do, but I don't. Because the Bible is expressive. It's very clear and very plain that we should come together. We need to learn, amen, to come together and to worship together and to serve together. We're still talking about praise. And if there is a reason that I don't want to come together with the body of Christ, something's wrong. Hello. We talking about we want to go to heaven, right? Can I tell you, you're not going to be in heaven by yourself if you go. So we might as well get used to one another. We might as well get used to praise and worship right now. All right. Thank you, Lord. And one of, to me, amen, there's many keys in the kingdom, but to me, there are three keys, amen, that seem to just run together that lead to a successful Christian life, and that is prayer, praise, and thanksgiving. Amen. They run together because really, to be honest, praise is a form of prayer. It's a form of communing with God. It is you vocalizing, amen, certain things to God. And so prayer, praise, and thanksgiving. And we're going to try to zero in on praise. Let's look at Psalm 100. He says here, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. My Bible says this is a psalm of praise. He tells us, he says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. He said a noise, a sound. Somebody, we have to make a noise. And it's not just any noise. It's not just it's a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. Can I tell you, we have too many silent Christians. Christians that won't speak up. Hello. Won't represent the kingdom, won't represent the king, won't talk about what the word says. Amen. On a whole lot of levels. Hello, somebody. If we're children of God, we need to speak up about who our Father is. But now we're talking about praise. He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. We got to have we should be making a noise, a sound that is joyful unto the Lord. It's amazing. It's amazing how you have those. Y'all know what I'm talking about, the quiet Christians. If you want to, you know, just take it up with the book. And I understand everybody's not the same. Amen. Everybody's not the same. Everybody's not going to praise the same. Everybody's not going to thank the same. Everybody's not going to, amen. We're not trying to cookie cutter nobody's praise. You with me? But the Bible says we ought to be making a joyful noise. If Jesus is the Lord of your life, if God is your heavenly Father, if you've been rescued from hell, death, you ought to have a praise sometime. Hello? I know we go through hardship. I know we deal with issues. I know we deal with circumstances. But sometime, every now and then, you ought to be able to get a praise out. Hello? Because some of the same folk that say they don't, you know, they not into that, you mess around and catch them at a ball game. You mess around and catch them with their son out there hitting the baseball or throwing the football, catching the football, getting to the end zone. That person will lose their mind. They'll come up all out the stadium, out the bleachers. Let them get a dunk. Let them. Hello? Man, you be like, Lord, where'd all that energy come from? But see what I'm saying? If we're children of God, we ought to have something to celebrate. Yeah. We ought to have something to celebrate. So he says, you ought to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And he says, all ye lands, all the earth, everywhere, in every place, somebody ought to be giving God some glory and praise and making a joyful noise. I think some folk don't come to Christ, because they looking at some of us and we don't never smile. We don't never have nothing good to say. Amen. They look at us, we talking about we Christians, and then we mumbling and complaining, arguing and fussing. Amen. So how are we gonna draw somebody to Jesus and they see you in worse shape than themselves? But listen, if we have some joy in our lives, my Bible says, oh, taste and see that God is good. And if I've tasted and I've seen and I know that God is good, it ought to show up on my face. It ought to show up in my attitude. It ought to show up in your disposition sometimes. Hello, somebody. He said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Good God Almighty. Listen. I used to,
I know some of y'all don't believe it, but I used to go to the club.
I used to go to the club on Friday night. You mess around, you might catch me there on Thursday night or Wednesday night. Celebrating nothing. Huh? Celebrating nothing. Celebrating some mess. Hello? On my way to hell, if it wasn't for the grace of God, and you telling me I did all that shaking, bumping, and grinding, all that loud mouth stuff, and now I'm in the kingdom of God, and I can't open my mouth. I can't wave my hand. I can't give him no glory when he didn't rescue me. Hello, somebody. No. I'm talking about I could be dead and gone. And if you, I guarantee you, if you look back over your life, you would realize in some places and in some areas, you could be dead and gone too. Hello? All these people going up and down the highways, they ain't drunk, they ain't smoked nothing, but somebody just hit them. All the calamity that's happening to people, tornadoes and storms and getting hit by lightning and all kind of stuff. And you trying to tell me God has preserved your life and you don't have a praise? I'm telling you that the roof on Sunday mornings, the roof ought to be coming off of this place. I'm talking about if we seeing right. Okay. I make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. He says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. So he says, we ought to make a joyful noise. We ought to come before the Lord. We ought to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Then he says, verse 2, he says of Psalm 100, he says, serve the Lord with gladness. So not only am I to make this joyful noise, but I am to be, and you are to be, we ought to be serving God. And how does he say serving? Your Bible read like my Bible, I can tell. He said we ought to serve him with gladness. Ain't that a revelation? That's a revelation right there. Because some folks still haven't figured out that I'm saved to serve. Sometimes it takes us a while. But we serve him with gladness. That's how. Because I'm thankful. See, a thankful heart is a powerful thing. When you really realize what God rescued you from. But see, there's another problem, because sometimes, see, y'all looking at some folks that's out there now, and sometimes what we do is like, ooh, they toe up. See, you get it. But some folks were like, well, I wasn't quite like that. I went, no. See, we put ourselves, sometimes we put ourselves on a pedestal. We think because we didn't do such and such and such, huh? We was closer to God than them. And you know, I'm not required to praise God quite like them, because I wasn't quite out there like they were.
Got something, Doc? Come on, Doc.
But can I just address that? Because I never did with some. I look at people from the standpoint of making it, not making it. Serving God, not serving God. Obeying God, not obeying God. Heaven, hell. Heaven, hell. And when we get to a point of seeing that we have to encourage people, sometimes we have to step on somebody's toe just to get them to notice that there's a real hell and a real heaven, a real God and a real devil, a real sin life and a real life that serves God. And if you miss God, the Bible determines and concludes that our life, given life, which shall be taken, we'll be spending our party time, our good time, all that hurt time in hell. And it used to worry me, bother me, when I see people that seem like they was working, and all of a sudden they would fall out. Serve God today, fall out tomorrow. Praise God today, fall out tomorrow. Say I'm serving God, and when you look at the whole picture, you see it tore up from the floor up. And my words was to encourage you by the word of God, since God called me to under-shepherd. If I don't do what God tells me to do, then I'm the one that's going to be bouncing off the hell's walls. And I made it up in my mind that I'm not going to shake hell's hands for nobody. Amen. And I mean nobody. Not my own. Because at a certain point in life, we have to make choices for ourselves. And God's words goes back and still said we what praise him. But when we praise God, we have to understand our praise should be with gladness. Our praise and our work and our service should be with gladness. I should not be serving God with all kind of hell wrapped up in my mind, all kind of malice in my mouth, all kind of stuff that keeps me from walking according to the will of God. But yet when you see me, I got my mouth. You know how we stick our lips out, our eyes cut, got an attitude, got that little and then at the same time, oh, yeah. God knows. Yes, he does. He been watching you the whole time. He see everything you do. He see everything I do. He see everywhere I go. He hear everything we say. But in the same breath, we're supposed to look out for each other. And as a pastor, God has given me authority to encourage and to rebuke. Because there are some rebukes that saves souls. There's some rebukes that pull people back in. But if I, as the overseer, as the under-shepherd, can't give a word out of rebuke every now and then to somebody, they done got off target to pull them back on target. Well, I don't know who he think he is. He just, well, I can hurt it all. Well, I don't, well, maybe. There might be some more still left out there, Pastor Tullis. But I like the idea that God says in his word, he said, elevate him. We ain't got time to elevate ourselves. Amen. Every now and then I can give you a word to pick you up. Every now and then, then when you start flying too high, sometimes you have to give a word to bring you down. But we look across the floor and we say, God, each person we see in the house of God, under the service of God, that's working for God, bless them. Those that are trying to make it, God, pull them on in so that, and bless them too. Let them see your goodness. Let them see your love for them and for us. And when we begin to look at it from the standpoint, Pastor Tullis, of God's love, every birthday, my wife and my children, they come and they do something. And we make it out that their birthdays, from the time that they could understand what birthday was, it was theirs. It was their special day. It was more special than we would celebrate Christmas because it was their day. But we serve God. It's his day every day. We worship him. It's his day every day. We pray to him, for it's his day every day, every morning, every noonday, every midnight hour is his day. And when we begin to get back to the point of believing that God is in control. So I'm wondering, that job you got, God. That husband or wife you got, God. Those children you have, God. Those grandchildren, God. Your church brother and sister, God. It's all about him. That alone should give us praise. But don't let the devil trip you up in the midst of doing good. Because he'll make you think some things are not important. He'll make you think you're not important. He will make you think that praise is not important. Worship is not important. Prayer is not important. But in the process of it is. Why do he attack prayer as not being important? Can I help you? Because he knows that if God's people come together and realize that there's power in collective prayer, in community prayer, there's power, then he knows that once you realize where the power is, then he loses control, because now God's word is declared in the heavens. If you can agree on anything, there won't be anything impossible to you. That's when the people of God come together. 30, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, people used to come together in the church of, in the churches, and the churches used to be full. And they had come together, and people were getting saved, getting delivered. God was showing up in all kind of ways in people's lives, in people's homes, in their relationships, in their families, their next door neighbor. It did not matter. Whoever you prayed for, God was doing some powerful things in their lives. Has he stopped? Well, if he hadn't stopped, then who stopped? Then that just says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their lands and forgive their sins. Ain't God something? Here, Pastor, you better take this. I get on a roll.
You can work at it. You said,
hey. Amen. Amen. You the overseer. Amen. Whatever you, however you see it. Amen. We thank God for it. And a lot is in what he said. You know, look at the focus of this. He says, make a joyful noise unto who?
The Lord.
The Lord. Serve who?
The Lord.
With what?
Gladness.
Who's the focus?
The Lord.
The Lord. The Lord should be our focus. See, praise is not about you thinking, me trying to impress you. Let me put it that way. That ain't the focus of praise. Praise is not, you know, me trying to, you know, make you think I'm super spiritual. Hello? Praise. God is the focus of praise. I praise him. I focus on him. I love him. This is what he says. Verse 2. It says, serve the Lord with gladness. Can I tell you, your praise is serving God? You got to see it. In Acts, the Bible talks about as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, you know, the Holy Ghost said, separate Paul and Barnabas for this work. But they ministered unto the Lord. When you praise, when you worship, when you're thanking God, when you're in that place, you have to see that you are ministering to God. Ain't that an amazing concept? See, we come in sometimes, and there's nothing wrong with wanting to be ministered to. Amen. We all should be desiring God to minister to us. But really, when we praise, we're ministering, we're serving Him. You can minister to God. Absolutely. Absolutely. And isn't it something that you have the within you the power to minister to God? And sometimes we refuse to praise Him. See, praise ain't about Dr. Benjamin. Praise ain't about Pastor Tullis. Praise is not about the praise team. Hello. Praise is about God. See, right through there, that ought to just change a whole dynamic when we come together. If I really realize that my praise is about serving God. Come on, I know.
Just real quick, then I'm done. Real quick, and I'm done. One of the things that I can stand here on Sundays. Yeah, I'm going to be overseer right now. I can stand here on Sundays and I can look. And I look. And I observe. Please believe, I don't miss too much. I may not say nothing, but I don't miss too much. I can see some working for the Lord. Working. And doing what they feel God has done in the praying, whatever it is, serving. And I can watch people fold their arms. Who they think they are? You so concerned about what they're doing, you can't even be what God told you to be and do. Can I just say it again? You so concerned, you're looking at somebody else so intently trying to find their fault that your fault is all over you. Because now it's no longer in hearing God. It's no longer in worshiping God. It's no longer in praising God. It's trying to figure them out and what they got. Well, whatever they got, let them have it. You just get yours. Whatever they do, let them do it. If God ain't shut it off yet, then it must be something to it. If God ain't touched somebody yet and said, here it is, preaching guarantee. When God tapped me on my neck and my shoulder, I don't have a problem telling somebody to sit down. I learned from an old lady in church a long time ago. Young lady walked in church, got to talk, got them. Oh, she got up and tapped on and said, baby, sit down and stop lying. Sometimes we got to go back to truth. It ain't about your feelings. Because your feelings will get you sent straight to hell. Your feelings will keep you out of God's worship, out of God's praise. It'll keep you angry and bitter. Your feelings will keep you messed up. But when you step out into God and ask God to use you in what He want to use you for, how He want to use you, when He want to use you, then you let God be God on that level. I can't get caught up if Pastor Tullis come and begin to preach and he preach, people shout, and I'm sitting back there, I want to be able to shout and say, preach on, preacher. Teach on, preacher. Pray the flows off this place, deacon. See, that's my mentality. Don't let somebody pull you out of what God is trying to thrust you into. It doesn't matter how they look, how they act, what they say. You glorify God. You praise God. You worship God the way God has patted you. You might not say a word. You might just get up and run. Well, Deacon Johnson, Chairman Johnson, he's a runner. He'll come up here in a minute, run up here and run back down there. You don't know what God's delivered him from. You don't know where he's been. You don't know that God has delivered him from three deliverance from cancer. One of them, he wasn't supposed to make it. Pancreatic cancer, you don't make it. He's made it. And made it and made it. So when I see him running, I start smiling because I know he got something to run for. Sometimes we ought to get up and run too and say, God, God said, if you want to do something, if you want my blessing, God said, if you want me to touch your life, you want me to move in this situation, get up and give me some praise. Get up and run for me. Get up and shout for me. Get up and glorify me. Get up and let the people know that you are mine and that I'm yours and you don't have a problem saying, Lord, I thank you for what you're about to do. You may not have done it just yet, but I'm thanking you now for what you're about to do. And if you do it, God, no matter what, if it happens or if it don't happen, I'm going to get my praise on right now because I know that you're so well able to do whatever it is you want to do and however you want to do it. We got to get tired of mess coming into God's house, sitting on God's pew, acting a fool in the house of God while God is trying to get his worship and trying to get his people to glory and praise him. And we sitting there with our mouth stuck out complaining about what somebody else God is using to do. We got to come out of that. We got to move away from that and say, God, I glorify you. Let me get into this. If somebody fall out in the spirit, God, let me get into that. If God begin to move on somebody and they start to shout, preacher, Lord, let me get into that. If somebody begin to run, Lord, let me run. If somebody begin to, whatever God is doing, Lord, let me into that. Don't leave me out of it. And a lot of times God's not leaving you out, you're taking yourself out. I used to pray, God, let somebody get happy and let people get a spirit. I want a part of that gold and touch. I've seen people touch people that got happy and they got happy. And somebody tried to console them and they got happy. I said, let it get contagious, God. Let it run in this place, God. Let somebody feel what they are feeling. Let somebody shout how they shouted. Let somebody slide up under the pew like they just slid up under the pew. And I'll guarantee your shout won't be a shout where you got to grab your wig or your hat. Your shout won't be a shout to where you gotta be a cool daddy and come out your coat before you give God praise. God said, I'll take you like you are, so when you stand up before me, come like you are. Don't come like so-and-so wants you to be. Don't come like Benjamin wants you to be. Come like I've declared that you should be. And that's the thing of God. That's how the Spirit of God is going to move. That's how the Spirit of God is going to grow his churches again. That's how the Spirit of God is going to move out into communities and make things happen. But until it happened in the church, until it happened amongst the saved folk, you know those folks that the Bible's written about? That's why he stood in the Word and said, love one another. He didn't say envy one another. He said, love one another. And that's what God wants us to be. But right in the household of faith, no matter where you go, you have envy, jealousy, and strife. And you wonder why the Spirit of God can't have full course, because we're sitting there blocking it. And God ain't gonna kick no door down to get in. You got to let him in. You got to open up and let him in. And let him have what? His way. That's why in the body of Christ, we go through so much, we struggle. I've seen it over and over again. God reminded me just today. He said, normally when the attacks come, it's when I'm moving. He said, you remember when I was blessing, when I was moving, and then the devil showed up? I said, yes, Lord. He said, keep your eyes open. So on today, I'm killing some mess. Today, I'm blocking the devil. Today, I'm commanding him that he has no place here. He has no authority here. He's not wanted here. And so in the name of Jesus Christ, he's got to go. And if I got to help somebody go with him, I don't have a problem with that either. As long as we got God and keep the peace of God and the word of God in the house of God amongst the people of God. My wife tells me I have to watch my mouth sometime, because I'm quick to tell you, y'all believe me, I'm no punk. I will not be ran over. And you can say what you want to say to who you want to say it behind my back. But I guarantee you come talk to me face to face, eyeball to eyeball, nose to nose. And we can talk. Because I'm not a coward. But we have to believe God. And we have to do it God's way, not ours. And until that, we'll never be able to do and be what God wants us to be. The devil uses certain things to keep people out of God's house. I was looking at, I'm not one to really get on Facebook, but I've been looking at it more and more for about the last 3 weeks. And I see a lot of stuff come across. Some of it offends my heart. I didn't say it breaks, I said it offends my heart. Because then I just immediately began to pray. But I read something on it where it was two homosexual millionaires filed a lawsuit on a church so that they could get married in that church. See, those are some of the things we need to be what praying over, standing up for. Our children being what pulled into what stuff. And we sit back and we hold our head up and our children being pulled into homosexuality. Because we're not giving them the real examples of what a Christian is supposed to be. Because they'll sit up in the house and they hear us talk about one another, complain about one another, say different things about one another. And guess what? A child can't hide their feelings. They'll tell on you in a minute. And we have to be careful. If you want to do something, give God glory. Give God praise. Begin to pray for. If you think somebody is off board, take it to the Lord. If you think something's going wrong, take it to the Lord. And as an under-shepherd of this ministry, this house, then you bring it to me. If you can't get to me, then you ought to be able to get to my chairman. You ought to be able to get to my assistant pastor over here. You ought to be able to get to First Lady. You ought to be able to get to some leader. They go Deacon Brown. And Deacon Brown, I expect it when they get to you, you get it to me. Why? Because then and only then will it be snapped and changed. We can't fix nothing if we don't know. Pastor, forgive me for taking your time. If you're sick, I don't know you're sick. Until you let me know you're sick. If you're missing in action, and you so conveniently always missing in action, I'm thinking, well, you're just missing in action. But we have to stay connected the way God said. Yes, I did. I ain't gonna say I didn't mean to get on this. God led me that way. Bless you, Lord. But in the midst of God, and where we are, praise. God's been laying something on my heart. I'm going to get this back to Pastor Tullis. I'm going to say this before I sit down. God's been giving me something, Pastor Tullis, and it's called WOW. And I begin to just look at the acronym, WOW. Worship on Wednesday, the first Wednesday of every month. Worship. 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 Worship on Wednesday. Praise team or choir, sing. We come in, we pray, worship. Pastor Tuller, somebody, preacher, preach. Worship on Wednesday. Not, no pretense, but this is the word that's got to get out. You got to tell somebody, girl, we doing some wow on Wednesday. Wow, what, wow. We're worshiping on Wednesday. The first Wednesday of the month. And Pastor Tullis, you and I can team up today. But God is so good because this is what he's doing. He's not only teaching, he's preaching. And I can step in his way in the name of Jesus Christ. But the whole thing comes back down to this. Do it God's way. And I've said it's been 19 years now. And I've said from day one, if you want to check me by the word. If I'm off, help me get back on. But you're not going to find me too far off. if at all, because that is what I live by. That is what I was called by. Someone that didn't want to preach. Someone that didn't want a pastor. But God pulled me into this. And if he pulled me out of that and put me into this, as much fire and energy I had out there, if I can't bring some up in here, something's wrong with me. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Preacher.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. He didn't took us to the crest. But I thank God for Doc and him sharing. That's what we have to be open to, really, is the move of God. See, we can't get caught up in it being about me. It's about what God desires to do. And if we ever get that, we got something. It's about the move of the Spirit of God. If you understand anything about the gifts, it talks about them prophesying two by two, but there should be a collaboration in the Spirit when God is moving. See, if and I'm going to get out of the way. But if the praise team, this is a good analogy. Now, it might be 12 o'clock. And typically, the minister or the preacher goes up about 12 o'clock normally, or a little bit before, depending on how. But just say the Lord begin to move greatly while we're praising or worshiping. Does Pastor Benjamin or Pastor Thomas, do we get an attitude about, well, they taking too long? Now, if we're in self, yeah. But it's not about self. It's about what God desires to do. And if God desires praise and worship to go forth, that's what needs to happen. I don't get offended because God is doing something another way. And that's why we all have to just constantly be prayerful and be mindful to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you, your victory's not in me. It's not in Joe Blow. I heard somebody want to say something. We're about out of time. I'm trying to hurry real quick. But your victory is in God. Your victory is in us surrendering to what God desires or wants to do. We gotta let God have his way in his church. Cause there is no greater love. Let's just be open, amen, to what God is saying. And I just want to continue to encourage you, and I know you are, but just continue to pray that God would have his way. And we'll just see what else, you know, where else God takes us with this praise theme in July. There is great significance to praise. You know, I believe there's some misconceptions related with praise. I think we have some areas of ignorance with praise. But praise is powerful. Praise is significant. And I'm just believing that over the next few weeks, amen, God's going to open us up. God's going to teach us some things. God's going to bring us into a place, amen, where he can move in the way that he wants to move. Amen. Come on, let's stand to our feet. Our children, I know you've prayed, but let's just pray before our deacons come. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you thanks and we give you praise. Father, we give you glory and honor. Lord, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for what you've spoken. We thank you for what you've decreed. We thank you for what you've shown us. We thank you for the impartation of your word. Father, even as we go forth in this month, this theme of praise, Father, we ask that you would speak to us. Father, that you would teach us, that you would shape us and mold us, and you would give us that hunger, that desire, and that thirst for you, for your presence, to honor you, to worship you, to give you the glory due to your name. And so we thank you for what you're doing in this house. We thank you for what you're doing in assembly. We thank you for what you're doing in our community and in this land. Father, we know that you have a plan and that you are bringing it to pass. And so we surrender, we yield the best way we know how. Father, we say, use us according to your will and your purpose. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Come on, everybody, say amen.